to the Victory Harvest Podcast.
You know, I've told you this before. Every time I begin to pray and ask God to just give me a sermon, you know, that would just make everybody laugh and just feel real good about everything, He usually gives me just the opposite. So that's exactly what I got today. But guess what? You'll laugh and rejoice when it's over, because it'll do us good. Amen? I find it every time I get ready to come and minister, I always have to live through it first. You don't have to be a pioneer. Some of you nodding your head, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You can't tell somebody something unless you go through it. And I want you to know, every time I go through something, God always comes out victoriously. And He lets me come out victoriously. Amen? And it's exciting to live in this day and age that we're living in to see God do some great and mighty things. Now, I want you to know, I believe that this year is going to be a very exciting year. But we got some stuff to do before it gets that way. We can't just nonchalantly just run off into this year and say, well, bless me, Lord, whatever I do, just bless me. I want to be happy and I want to be prosperous and I want to do everything that's there. But if we leave God out of it, I promise you, you're going to do a nosedive somewhere around January. You know, some of you are probably already made some New Year's resolutions. And I just want to show you how New Year's resolutions happen. Because there's a lot of times that I go home and I find all kinds of stuff that people throw out to the street. And I bring it home and fix it. And I give it to other people. But usually, at this time of the year, if you did not get a present, a stair stepper, or a bicycle, or anything to do with exercise, worry not. It will be on the street in about 2 weeks. Because somebody got that thing to get better health, to get better whatever, to get physically fit. And I promise you, in about 3 weeks, it's going to be on the side of the road. And somebody else will be able to get that. I got a whole thing at my house, a gym set that a man threw away. And I told him, I said, well, you going to throw it away? He said, I'm keeping the weights out of it for my tractor. The rest of it's going to the garbage. So I talked him out of the weights. I gave him some weights and I brought it home. And it's still exactly where I put it. I have not even used it. I just don't have enough strength to go put it out at the road. But how many of you made some New Year's resolutions? And you'd like to keep them? Well, I want to show you in the Word of God today something that I had never, ever seen before. Because I've always used this chapter as the fasting chapter. And it's in Isaiah 58. And it has nothing to do with about fasting food whatsoever. None. Now, Pastor Terry, in the months to come, and I don't want to give it away, but he's going to have us on a fast, I feel sure. We go through this every year to really seek God and go and do what God wants us, what we need to do for God. I almost said what we want God to do for us. That's not what it's about. It's what He wants out of us. How many of you know what I'm talking about? But we will go on a fast, and it will detail things like fasting from food, fasting from TV, fasting from the internet, fasting from texting, Facebook. I started, you know, I have no idea what some of that stuff is. Pastor Terry said we need to start getting on the blog, we need to get on Facebook, and we need to start ministering. So I've already started mine. I've already taken a bunch of people's faces, and I got them in a book. That'll come to you after a while. That's my extent of Facebook. If I think about you, I'm going to open it to that page and say, there they are. They're in my Facebook. I love them. God bless them wherever they are. And I might give you a call and just say, Jesus told me to call you. But as far as punching buttons and doing, I'm a bad speller and I'm slow about it. So my Facebook, if you want to be in my Facebook, you take a 5x7 picture of yourself and give it to me, and I'm going to put it in my book. Amen? Pastor Terry just called a while ago, and he said, be sure to remind everybody that next Sunday, the small groups will begin again. I think that was in the announcements, but it was the week after that, right? But he said, small groups next Sunday will begin. Everybody got that, okay? So if you haven't been in one, my group never stopped. We just keep on going. You know, there's nowhere else to go. We just enjoy one another's company. So go get in your group next Sunday. And if you're here and you've never been a part of a small group, we want to invite you to go to one. We're going to probably put out some tables this year with some different groups, some different things to do. So we want you to get plugged in to us. We want to know who you are and let you know who we are so we can fellowship together, so we can grow together. How many of you know that the body of Christ needs to be together? That's the only time that we have to really be together. So we want to encourage you to come and be a part of that if you're not. Bring your children. We have a class for every group and every age of everybody that's there. So be sure to be a part of that. Now, the sermon today is going to be called The Repairer of the Breach. And I went the other day and I got a Bible called The Message. How many of you ever read The Message book? It's good. Some things is a little kind of touchy. You wonder where they coming from. But I'm going to tell you what. It's an impact message. And I'm going to read that today out of the Message translation of Isaiah 58. And I got some things that I want to share with you because there's a lot of things in here. And try to just keep up with me because I don't want to go too fast. I don't want to go too slow. But I want you to get the depth of this so you will know, because if we want a prosperous year this year, if we want God to reign and rule in our lives, we need to line up with the Word of God. I think the last time I preached, I talked about the plumb bob. Y'all remember that? Everybody remember the levels that I brought? Well, it's kind of the same thing, because if we don't line up the way God says it, we're not lined up in the right way. We're just using our own concepts and our own ways, and that will get us in trouble every time. So I want you to listen to this as we go through. If you got Isaiah 58, if you want to turn there in your Bible, it's going to read a little different than this because this is a Message translation. But this is Isaiah. Isaiah was a great prophet of God, and I mean, he spoke the Word of God. He had an encounter with God in Isaiah, the 6th chapter. He says, I saw the Lord, and He was high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. And the angels cried, Holy, holy, holy is God. And then he realized in his own life that he was a man that was unclean. And he lived with people that were unclean, people that did not serve God. And he saw that and he knew that. And the first thing God did was take the coal off of the altar and burned his tongue and purified him and cleansed him. Now, Isaiah preached the Word of God over and over and over. And you know what? Jonah went to Nineveh. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh to tell the people to repent. And the first thing he did was go to Joppa, which was the opposite way. And he didn't do what God told him to do. And then God allowed a little whale to swallow him. Not a little whale, a big whale. Do you understand if we run from God, when God says go one direction and we go the other, there's a whale waiting somewhere with some big old juicy lips that's just going to swallow you? And it may not be so much as a fish, but it will be something that will detain you to get your attention that God has a plan for you. And Jonah was afraid to go there, and he ran the opposite way until God pulled him back, got him back in the right stance, and he went to Nineveh and ministered to those people. And the Bible says that the whole nation got saved. Everybody. They had a mass revival because he did it God's way. He did it Jonah's way the first time. He did it God's way the second. And now here's Isaiah, and he's speaking to the children of Israel. God's already chosen people, and they are now worshiping other gods. They're running from God. They're doing things, and Isaiah has told them over and over and over, turn back to the true and living God. Quit worshiping these idols. Tear down these Asherah poles. Move and do what God wants, what He has a plan for you. Begin to do those things. And the nation of Israel began to turn their back on them. And God knew that, and He's going to give them another chance. Aren't you glad that God's a God of another chance? You know, if He wasn't, none of us would probably be here today. None of us. But He is that way. But I'm going to tell you what, we're living in a time of grace right now, but sometimes we use it very sloppily. Sloppy. That's not a good word. Sloppy grace. Because God has got a plan for us, and sometimes we walk right on the line instead of doing what God has us to do. But I believe that one day we're going to be held accountable for that. And I believe it's going to be while we're awake and living on this earth. Because God says to do things and we don't do it, I believe that there's a judgment day going to come. Now, I don't know what that's going to be. He's not going to strike you out. Probably let the earth open and swallow you down, because He loves us. We're His children. But I do believe that He will bring us to a place of correction in our life. Anybody agree with me about that? And if it's true, then why aren't we doing what God wants us to do? Why aren't we living in the way that is? And I want us today to look at the Word of God, and I want you to listen. I put all of that in the front of this to let you know that God has got a message for this church today. If we're going to be a church that's alive and vibrant, a church that will bring the gospel to a lost and dying world, we have got to listen to what the Holy Ghost is saying in our lives. Now listen to the way this starts. It says, shout, a full-throated shout. Hold nothing back. A trumpet blast shout. Tell my people what's wrong with their lives. Face my family, Jacob, with their sins. They're busy at worship. And they love studying about me. In all appearances, they're a nation of right-living people. Law-abiding, God-honoring. They ask me, what's the right thing to do? Have you ever had that question come to your mind? When you have a thought about what God wants you to do and you say, God, what's the right thing to do? We do that. Sometimes we study. Sometimes we go get counseling. We move in those directions. But listen to what he says. And love having me on their side. How many of you always want God on your side? I do. But they also complain. Why do we fast and you don't look our way? Why do we humble ourselves and you don't even notice? Well, here's why. This is why that we don't see things happen around us and in us sometimes, because this is what God expects, and sometimes we just don't line up with what He's saying. Now, this is what He says. The bottom line on your fast days is profit. You drive your employees much too hard. You fast, but at the same time you bicker and fight. You fast, but you swing a mean fist. The kind of fasting you do won't get your prayers off of the ground. Have you ever prayed and you felt like your prayers weren't just about this high? Be honest with me now. Come on, y'all got to help me preach this sermon. When it happens, this is why our prayers don't get off the ground. Because we're not lined up with what God wants us to do. And it says, do you think this is kind of fast day that I'm after? A day to show off humility? To put on a pious long face and parade around in a solemnly in black? Do you call that fasting a fast day that I, God, would like? Now this is God talking to us. Are y'all understanding this? That He's talking to us. He says, do you think this is the kind of fast that I like? I'm going to tell you what, when my Father speaks, I want to listen. If He's speaking to me in that kind of tone and He tells somebody to shout it out with a deep-throated blast like a trumpet, we better listen as the people of God. Amen? It's time to start listening. It says, this is the kind of fast day that I'm after. Now, this is what God says about a fast. This is where He wants to bring us as a church, to bring us to that place. This is the kind of fast day that I'm after. To break the chains of injustice, get rid of exploitation in the workplace, to free the oppressed, to cancel debts. That's the kind of fast that God likes. He says, what I'm interested in is seeing you do this. Now, there's some things. Everybody says, I need to do something. I need to do something. What I'm interested in is seeing you do this, sharing your food with the hungry. Inviting the homeless poor into your homes. Putting clothes on the shivering ill-clad. Being available to your own families. And that may be also spiritual families and your natural families. That's the fast that God's bringing us to bring us to a point that we will know what He's doing. He says, do this and the lights will turn on. Has a light ever turned on in your head, a spiritual light? And it's like, wow, look at that. I've been praying, I've been asking, and I've been doing things, and then all at once it's clear as a bell. It's like a light come on. It's illuminated all around me. And it says, and your lives will turn around at once. Your righteousness will pave your way. The God of glory will secure your passage. Then you will pray, and God will answer. Amen? Everybody say, God will answer me. You'll call for help, and I'll say, here I am. Now, that's the kind of God that we serve when we're doing what He says to do. That when we do call on Him, we know that we have that blessed assurance that God is saying, here I am. What do you want? What do you want me to do in your life? You're already doing what I've asked you to do. Now, what do you want? I mean, you know, God don't play checkers, but it's kind of like I've used this analogy when I witness to people that are lost. And you give them the gospel, you share with them what God says and how He has a plan for their life. And the next thing is what? It's their move. God is not going to move again until someone else moves something. If you and I are sitting up here playing checkers, you know, we used to go to Cracker Barrel and sit out there while we were waiting for a table. And they got those big giant checkers, and we would sit out on the sidewalk and play checkers. Now, I know one thing. If I'm playing checkers with you and you move and it's my turn, if I don't move, we're going nowhere. You can't move and I can't move. And so many times we back God into a corner and God says, I've already done everything that I'm going to do. It's up to you to make the next move. Amen? A full life. But He's saying, here I am. If you get rid, now listen to these things. This is some if yous and I wills in here. It says, if you get rid of unfair practices, quit blaming victims, quit gossiping about people's sin, if you are generous with the hungry and start giving yourselves to the down and out, your lives will begin to glow in the darkness. Your shattered lives will be bathed in sunlight. And it says, this is what He told us. If we would do these things. Now listen to what He says He will do. I will always show you where to go. I'll give you a full life in the emptiest of places. That means He's not only the God of the mountains, He's the God of the valley. Amen? When you're down and out, He's going to be right there with you to comfort you and show you and give you rest and give you peace right through the middle of each and every one of them. I will give you a full life in the emptiest places. Firm muscles and strong bones. Amen? Go ahead and get that exercise stuff off the side of the road. Because God's going to give you strong bones and you can exercise with it. But He will do that from the inner man. The inner man will begin to rise up within you and you'll begin to know that, hey, the light is on and God is in control. And I'm strong in Him and I'm you'll be like a well-watered garden, a gurgling spring that never runs dry. Have you ever seen a spring in the woods? You know, when I used to ride motorcycles up at Chipola years ago, we would go, they had a spring. And we would go there and we'd go find that spring. And I'll never forget, you'd ride all day long, sometimes 8, 10 hours, 100 miles sometimes. We would be dry and thirsty and we would head for that spring. Now, you had to go around a fence to get in there and you go to this little thing. And it was a spring and it just gurgled water out all the time. And if you didn't know where it was, you'd never find it. It was one of those most kept secrets of all, right there. And that spring had the sweetest water, and it was ice cold that just bubbled out of the ground. And I'll never forget that, because, you know, when you're dry and you're thirsty, and you need something to replenish your body, that spring looked good. And I'm going to tell you what, church, there are people out there right now that are dry and thirsty, and they're hungry. And they need you, because you can be that gurgling spring that bubbles up and brings life and brings nourishment back to those people, that they would know that they've been in the presence of God just because you were there. Because didn't He say, where you go, I'm going to go with you? And that tells me if I go somewhere and He sent me there, He's going to be right there on the spot with me. We'll be like a gurgling spring that never, never runs dry. You'll use the old rubble of past lives to build anew. rebuild the foundations from out of your past. You know, we're living in a day and age of throwaway stuff. I hate to say it, but everything you buy just about right now is made where? Made in China. And most of it is cheap stuff and it don't last. I came up in an era where people built stuff, handiwork stuff, things that were made out of good materials that would last a lifetime. Most people kept those things. They restored those things and they used them. I got a lawnmower right now that's 27 years old. And I'm going to tell you what, that baby still cranks and runs. You know why? Because I've been taking good care of it. I change the oil. I do everything that I can to make Janice happy. She loves to cut grass. And I love for her to cut grass. So I want to make sure I got a good lawnmower for her. But most of the stuff that you buy nowadays, when it's broke, you throw it away because it's not worth fixing. And if it is, you can't find a part for it. It's time for America to start restoring things. It's time for America to start building our own stuff. Again, amen. I don't want to get into that, but we need to do it. I would like to buy something once in a while that says made in the USA by Americans somewhere. I'm nothing against foreign people. I'm just saying we're losing out on what we're doing because we're losing our creativity. And you say, what does that got to do with this sermon? It has everything to do with this sermon because God wants us to prosper in everything that we put our hands to. Amen? This is called the repairer of the breach. And you say, what do you mean by the repairer of the breach? I want to name some things here about the repairer of the breach taken out of Scripture. And I have Scriptures to back up each one of these. But the first one is breaking forth. Breaking forth. Now, the repairer of the breach literally means to the repairer of broken things. Things that are out there that are broken and fixing those things. You know, I was in the car business for 27 years as a mechanic. And everything that I did was to repair somebody's car to make it last longer. That's the whole bottom line. And now I'm a pastor. And what I try to do is to repair people's life that they would last forever. A car's going to only last so long and then it's going to be gone. But a person is going to last forever. And if there's one thing that I can do is take the Word of God and interject it into somebody and let them live forever, I have done my job. Amen? And so have you. But this is called the repairer of the breach. Those things that are broken. The first one is breaking forth. You have been held back. You're not moving. You know, you judge yourself. I can't judge that. It's not my job. You can't judge me. But if you've been held back, the enemy don't want you to go any further with what you're doing. He wants you to stop right where you are. He's happy if you just come to church and sit on that pew and never open your mouth. If you never praise God, then you've done a good job for the devil. But I'm going to tell you what, you start doing something for the Lord and you're going to see the opposition that's going to come against you. But some of you have been held back. It's time for the repairer of the breach to come and to heal that. That you will get up and begin to do something in your life. Amen? You know, that's why we have opportunities. We pray for opportunities to go minister the Word of God. That's why we're going to get involved in Final Exit. We're not hosting that this year. We're just going to take part in it. But we need actors. We need people that would do all kinds of things. People to do technical work. People that would do security work. People that would come and sit in a counselor's office. Because there's going to be people that's going to come through that thing. How many of you have ever seen Final Exit? Okay, how many of you have not seen Final Exit? Okay, quite a few of you. If you've never seen that, it's the most graphic thing that you've ever seen. It will scare the daylights out of you the first time you go. And I've been in every position that you can be in that part. And I love to play all of them and do whatever. But you know what I like to do more than anything is to sit in that counseling room and watch these people coming in that are scared and they're hurt and they're lost and they need God. And they come in for the first time in most of them's life to sit down with you and let you lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're doing. Those are things to do. But if you don't do those things, you're being held back. You saying, if I don't go get in Final Exit, I'll be held back? No, you won't. But it'll be something else God will knock on your heart's door about doing, and you'll say no to that. And we can't do that. We got to start listening to what God says to do and begin to move in that direction. If we don't, we will be held back. You'll just not pass the test. You'll not do. There's an act of what? Called obedience that God has for every one of us. And if God has a place of obedience to keep from being held back, we have to move on. I know what it is to fail in school. I failed the 8th grade one time because I did not apply myself. And you know what they did? They held me back until I did it right. And I went back the next year and I didn't do it right again. And you know what I did? I had to go back again. And now here I am. I'm getting older and they're getting younger. And it's like, what's wrong with this picture? It's like, I don't need school. I'm out racing cars and winning national championships. I don't need to go to school with this bunch of kids. But I did. And I passed. And I'm glad I did. But I know what it means to be held back. But I also know what it means to be breaking forth. And that is overcoming your problems or whatever it is. You keep moving on till you get it done right. Amen? Bodily wound. That's those that are sick. Those that have been afflicted. Those that the disease has tried to attack. Those are some of the things that's in the breach, the brokenness that would ruin God's people. Repairer of the broken breaches. That's what we're in the business of doing. Those that have been wounded bodily, that they're sick physically, mentally, any other way. That's what we're here for, is to heal the brokenhearted. Another one is a breach of promise. That may be getting hurt by a friend, a church member, a loved one, or you name it. A breach of promise. Do you know when I bought my land out there where I live, Mr. Alton Lee was 88 years old. And I called him on the phone and I told him, I said, I want to buy that land. And he come out there. He said, how much money you got? And I said, I don't have none. I said, I got a house I'm going to sell and I'm going to buy it. And he said, well, I'll tell you what you do. I said, I do have some money. I was joking, will you? I have some money that I want to put down on it. And he told me the price of the land. And I told him, fine, I wanted it. So he said, well, I want you to take your money. He looked at me right straight in my eyes and he said, do you want this land? And I said, yes, sir, I do. And he said, well, you take your money and you go put it in your bank. And when we get ready to do the deal, you get your money. And he stuck his hand out like that and he shook my hand. That's all it took. It didn't take a lawyer. It didn't take witnesses. It didn't take nothing. Because he was a man of his word. Amen. And I knew he would not break his promise. And I knew I would not break my promise. And then that man got in a car wreck and was paralyzed from his neck down to his toes. And he's 88 at this time. And I found out about it. And the first thought was, nobody knows about this handshake but me and him. And I better go see him. So I went to see him in the hospital. Saw him in there. And I said, Mr. Alton, I said, the agreement we have with the land, is it still okay? He said, yes, son. He said, don't worry about the land. I've already told my daughter. And she is a woman of integrity. And that land is yours until you get ready to do it. Well, a year and a half later, I finally got my money together and I went and bought that land. But I was impressed because it was not a breach of promise. But there are so many times to where there is a breach of promise. There's a breach of promise every time a couple gets married and gets a divorce. There's a breach of promise broken every time somebody says, I'll do it, and they don't do it. Every time somebody says, I'll be there, and they don't show up. Every time, that's a breach of promise. And America has gotten so used to that nowadays to where somebody can tell you something that will really be honest about it and really show up and really do what they said they'll do, and we look at them like, it ain't gonna happen. Does anybody else have that problem? We all do, because too many people have broke promises. But you know one thing? We're challenged as Christians to hold that promise. If we say it, we need to do it. And we need to. If it costs you money, if it costs you time, if you have to sacrifice, if you speak that thing out of your mouth, you are to stand up to what you said. Can I get a better amen? Destruction, lost material things. There's some of you that lost things this year. You might have lost money. You know the way the stocks and bonds and all the things that's going. You might have had some destruction in your finances. Some of you might have lost a home or cars or whatever. Those things, God wants to repair the breach. And we are going to be the ones that God is going to use. Another one is wounded of the spirit. Wounded of the spirit. That's you that have lost loved ones. You that have lost people in your lives. You're wounded. I know what that is to go through that. I lost my daddy. I lost my brother. And I lost my mother within a period of 2 years. I know what that is to have that pain and that agony, that hurting that was there. But you know what? I can't stay there. I got to move on. How many of you know that grieving is good? I've told people before, when you cry, you need to cry to the depths of your heart. But when you laugh, you need to laugh to the depths of your heart. That's part of the grieving process. But the biggest part of dealing with it is deal with it. Don't run from it. I've seen people that lost loved ones and they went totally the opposite way. They lost their church family. They lost their family. They're just out there dangling around. What a horrible place to be. We need one another. When things like that happen, I want you, and you have, I want to say that, because when I lost my daddy and I lost my brother and my mother, and we lost friends in this church, when we did that, we stuck together. We encouraged one another, and we're healing through those. That's a repairer of the breach. The break in the walls, that's our guard is down. Our guard. You know, there are good walls that we can have in our life. That we protect ourselves with. God put those there. But then there are walls that come up that should never be there. And those are all right to get away with. Tear those down and let them go. Because we are to be an open book. But I'm going to tell you what. There are walls sometimes that the enemy has come and he's chipped away. And he's found a weakness in your life. And he keeps chipping away until he gets your very soul. It's kind of like a spider web. Y'all know how that is. We used to have one up at when we used to have a camp at Kentwood. I'll never forget one Saturday afternoon. I mean, this was an exciting afternoon. I'm sitting on the porch in a hammock, and there's this huge spider web on the end of the porch, and this big old black spider right in the middle of it. And it's like, now look at that. That is really unique. So I got some water and I squirted on it, and then I took a picture. I thought that was kind of cool. But the next thing I did, you know, being a young kid like I am, it 55, I think, at that time. I went out in the yard and I got some crickets. And I'd bring them back and I'd flip them up in that spider web. And as soon as that thing hit that spider web, that spider, he looked like he wasn't going to move at all until something shook his little nest. And as soon as he did, he ran down there and got that cricket and he rolled it up in a little ball with fiber and attached it to that spider web and then it went back up to the middle. It's like, wow. That dude is, he's serious about his lunch, you know. So I went and I got another one and I flipped it up in there. And I only did three. God forgave me, okay. I know some of you are going to call me and say, I can't believe you did that. Well, I did. I did it. I'm confessing it. I'm done. I'm healed of it. I've had counseling over that. The spider's happy too, by the way. But that's exactly what the devil does with us. He comes sometimes and he's just sitting there perched, waiting for you to come along and step on that spider web. And when you do, then he's going to come and he's going to roll you into those little tentacles. And he's going to come back and he's going to devour you somewhere along the way. Now that might have happened to you. You might be in the midst of it right now. You might still be pulling spider webs out of your hair. You know, I had one the other day that stuck on my face right here, and I thought I had hair growing all at once. You know, it's like, wow. First time I felt something go that close to my eyes in a long time. Has nothing to do with this sermon. But I want you to know the enemy's out there, and he might have broke into your wall. He might be coming to destroy you, and he is going to destroy you if you let him. But we don't have to let him. Amen? Another thing is, there's a gap. There's a void that's there. A gap. A gap is when that place comes where we've done something in our life. And we're too ashamed to go back to God and say, God, would you forgive me? We want to pull back like God don't know. like we're Adam and Eve. We know because we're trying to hide ourselves with the fig leaves instead of coming and say, God, here I am. I sin. God, I want to come back home. You know, there are a lot of people that don't go to this church right now because they stepped over the line and they sinned. And when they sinned, they will not come back because of the embarrassment that they think that this church would know. And 99.9% of the people in this church don't even have a clue what those people did. But the devil has come and told them that everybody here knows what they did. Can I get a better amen? You see, because you might have been in that spot too. But you know what? I have found if I will go forth and do what God says, then God will forgive me. God will cleanse me. And nobody knows about it. But they're there to encourage you. How many of you want to help somebody this year instead of tear them down? You know, can I see better hands than that? You know, that we want to help people when we do find out that they've fallen and they've slipped. We want to help them get up and go again. We want to restore that brother or that sister in the Lord. Amen? Yeah, give him a clap offering. Yes. Praise God. The repairer of the breach. You say, well, how do you do that? How do you repair things that's broken? I got a plan right here that I wanted to go through with you. I went through this with the Hummer place a while back. And I got to thinking about it, and it's like, that's exactly what God wants us to do if we're going to do something. How many of you ever restored anything? Piece of furniture or anything? Anybody? Most of you have, probably somewhere along the way. You painted your bedroom. You might have did something. It might not have been repair, but you changed it. Janice bought a bedspread one time. $500. Man, it was a deal. It ended up costing me $8,000. Because it didn't go with nothing in that room. I ended up, it's like, she bought a bedspread, and now I'm changing the bed and the dresser and everything. The lamps don't fit. The rug ain't the right thing. The color of the wall's not there. I take this thing back. But I'd already dug us a big hole here. But you got to think about those things. The key thing is to have a vision for it. His ways. His vision. And that's what we're talking about through the Word of God. His Word is His vision. Amen? Would y'all agree with me about that? The first thing is look at what's impossible and see what is... look at what's impossible and see what is possible with God. I got stuff at my house. Mark's been out to my house. He's seen stuff. And I'm building a sermon right now. I'm going to have it ready in about 3 or 4 months. But if you see it, you're going to say, that piece of trash does not be on the road. That's all I'm going to tell you right there. It looks impossible. But I'm going to tell you what. It's going to go somewhere one day. And I've done cars after cars that way that people have literally thrown away. I had to cut a tree down one time because one was growing where the hood goes and the motor. It didn't have a motor, but the tree was there. I cut the tree down, pushed the car over, brought the thing home, and I ended up selling that thing. That was part of my inheritance to the Lord. Amen? Because I saw something in it that most people did not see. And God wants to give us a vision, every one of us, that we would be visionaries and see things that may look impossible, but know that with God, all things are possible. Amen? Amen? I love to look at marriages that have fallen apart. Some of them have even gone almost to marry other people. And I got interjected into that group of people. And it's like, if I'm going to be interjected in it, then I'm going to put my 2 bits in it. And I've stopped many of them from going to marry somebody else and go back to their original husband or wife and get remarried. I have remarried people, and I'm watching them grow in the Lord. A thing that looked impossible, but God turned it around. But you got to have a vision to see those things. If you can't see it, you probably will never do it. But the first thing is have an eye for it. And that is, the Bible even says, without vision, the people what? They perish. That tells me I want to see what God's got for me because I don't want to perish. I want to do what He's got for me. But the first thing is to see it with your eyes. The next thing is to let it muddle over in your mind. You begin to envision what God can do, not what other people say, but what God can do. Let it marinate, like Sister Peggy used to say. Just let that marinate there in your little brain for a little while. You know, when we see it, let it marinate in our mind and just begin to see the possibilities, the responsibility, the things that we can do through our mind. And I've found out through the years of past that if I look at it and if I'll let it churn in my mind, the next thing it's going to do is to drop into my heart. And now it's part mine because it's dropped into my heart. And if it's in my heart, I'm going to get it done. The next thing it's going to do is to drop into my feet. There are four steps there. If I can see it and I can think about it and I let it drop in my heart, then there's something that I have to do. And that is in my feet. That is a sign, a symbol of faith. When we see it, when we feel it, we start moving. Then faith begins to operate. The second one is a plan. We need a plan. First of all, we need to make sure that it's God's plan. If you have to go through the Word of God to find that out, do so. If you have to talk to somebody that's positive and somebody that's a godly person, listen to that person and let them help you with your plan. But you get that plan and you start writing it down. Sally buys these legal books, legal pads at the book place. And I got them filled up with plans and things that I want to do. I'll get one and I'll just start writing things in there. And some things are good, some things they're not. Some things are really good, but God says it's not time right now. And He'll make me put that thing on a shelf somewhere. Well, you know what? I'll just get me another pad out and I'm going to start writing again. But every now and then God says, this is what I want you to do. And I'll start planning it out. And that's organizing those things. That's begin to set goals, realistic goals for those things. To know that I can, this has a possibility to do. And I need to start moving on and get what God's got for me. Another thing is find resources. You may have to learn something new. I want to challenge you this year to learn one thing that you've never learned before. Whether it's a foreign language. I got Frances is here at the church most of the time and she speaks Spanish. She gave me a book the other day. It says Spanish for stupid people or something like that. What does that book say? Dummies. Spanish. Yeah. Spanish for dummies. And I are one of those. But I tell you what, I'm learning a few words. I'm getting to where I can talk a little bit. Come and stop. You know, more be in. You know, that's about it. So don't go any further than that with me. But I am learning something. And I am going to learn Spanish. And I'm going to try to learn it better this year than I did last year. But I want to challenge you to do something fresh and new and exciting this year. Find something that you've always dreamed. I might could do that. I had a vision one time when I was a youth pastor here 40 years ago. I challenged them to play something and learn a music. Go play a guitar, play a piano, do something. And I had 18 of them at that time. And every one of them went out there and took piano lessons or guitar lessons, just different things. And when I got them all situated, it's like, now they're moving on. They're doing good. And then I heard the Spirit of God says, and what are you doing? And it's like, well, I'm teaching them to do it. And I said, well, I want to play a guitar. So I went to work the next day and a guy was selling a guitar out of the trunk of his car. It was a legal guitar. It was not one of those kinds. You know, I used to have a guy, hey man, you want to buy a watch? You know, and he would open his coat up and it'd be lined up in there. And it's like, no timepiece. Thank you. But nevertheless, this was a legal guitar. And I taught myself. I bought me a Mel Bay book. And I sat at my house and I would learn to put my fingers where they go and I would play. And Janice would sit there. I said, you recognize that? Nope, not yet. I'd play some more. I said, you recognize that tune? Nope. Well, that went on for about 6 months. But one day she said, hey, that sounds pretty good. And I said, I'm getting somewhere. So I learned how to do that because I wanted to do that. I want you guys to come. It will keep you fresh. It will keep you alive. It will teach you things. Keep your mind focused on what you're doing, and God will help you do those things. There's some of you in here that can do artwork. One thing I want to do is art. I want to learn how to paint. I need somebody to show me how to do some artwork, and I'm going to go buy me some buckets of paint and some canvases, and I'm going to take off. But I need a little encouragement to get to that point. That's one of my goals this year, is to be an artist. That's not a whole good word, is it? Artist. I want to learn to paint somebody. Amen? Not with a spray can either. But I want to teach you what I know, and I want you to teach me what you know. That's what we need one another for, and we can encourage the body of Christ. Everything that I got at my house, I use it as a witnessing tool to reach other people. I don't have hot rods at my house just because I like hot rods. I did it because it's a ministry that I can touch people. When I used to ride motorcycles, we did it to touch other people. And we had fun while we were doing it. Amen? But we got to set goals. Set a goal this year and stick to it. Don't let it be stuck on the side of the road. Your vision sitting in somebody's dumpster this year. But you take your vision, you take what God has given you, and you begin to move out in it and do what God says to do. Amen? Find resources, materials, tools, ingredients, whatever it is. If you're going to bake somebody a cake, start getting the ingredients. That's part of the planning about doing it. When I built my house, I had all my tools ready. I had all the material ready. And when the day of starting, we started. I didn't have to go run down everything that I needed. It was right there, Johnny on the spot. The fourth part is finances. Get the money and set limits and count the cost. Jesus said before a man goes and builds a tower, he says, let that man count the cost. There's a cost involved in everything that we do. And if you learn something new or if you're going to help somebody, there's going to be a cost involved in it. But that's where you have to step out in faith and believe God to pull you through. Everything I've ever started in my life, God always supplied the needs. And sometimes it looked like an impossibility. But God was always faithful and allowed it to come at the very time that we needed it. But it's finances. The next part is time. It's going to be a sacrifice on some of you for time. Set a timeline and start to finish. When you set a timeline, you set a time to start this thing and you set a time to stop it. You don't want to spend the rest of your life doing something. I like to do things and go at it full blast until I get to a place to where I feel like that I've accomplished what I have and then I can back off of it. I'm not going to let that thing engross my life and take me away from God. How many sometimes you know that your possessions can possess you instead of you possess your possessions? And that also goes with time sometimes. Team. God first, you second, and other people involved. We're going to start the go teams. Y'all remember what the go teams were that we helped widows and stuff? We painted their house, cut their grass, trimmed and washed and cleaned. We did all those things. We're going to get that kicked off by springtime. We're going to need you to sign up. I'm going to come in here with one of those legal pads and put it on that table, and I'm going to need people to sign up. But we're going to go bless people the way God says to go bless people. Amen? And it may cost us some time. It may cost you a Saturday morning to come and to do that. It may cost you some money out of your pocket to do that. But we're going to do it because God's got a plan for widows and orphans. And we want to be real sure that we're covering both of those bases. Amen? Fight. Stand your guard. We sing a song this morning about, I stand in awe of you. You know, no matter what you're going to do, the enemy is going to try to rob that from you. You need to know he hates you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to discourage you. He wants to take everything that you got and pull it into his hands and rob you of all of it. There comes a place in all of our lives where we just got to stop. We got to plant our feet solid on the ground and say, I will not be moved. In what I see, what I hear, and what I feel. My faith is in the Lord, and nobody's going to move me from that. Amen? I had to do that this week on this sermon. Immediately when I started getting this together, I started on this 3 weeks ago. And immediately the enemy come in and started bombarding me. And it's like, you're not going to rob me or this church of this message. I am going to stand and make sure that I'm doing what God says to do. How many of you know what I've been reading to you is God's word? That's not Kenny's word. That's God's word. I'm just giving you help with this. But the enemy wants you to fail, but we cannot do that. This is a good part right here. Going back to the scripture. If we do that, if we do the things that God says to do, then He's promised, I will do these things. If you do these, I will do these for you. And you will be known as those who can fix anything. Restore old ruins, rebuild, renovate, make the community livable again. Don't that sound good? That sounds like I got something to do. It sounds like you got something to do. Because if God says, if you'll do away with these things, and if you will start doing what I say to do, I will change your life. And this is what He says. And we will make the community livable again. Now listen to this part. He says, if you watch your step on the Sabbath and don't use my holy day for personal advantage, if you treat the Sabbath as a day of joy, God's holy day as a celebration, if you honor it by refusing business as usual, making money, running here and there, then, listen to this part, then you will be free to enjoy God. Oh, I make you ride high and soar above it all. I'll make you feast on the inheritance of your ancestor, Jacob. Yes, God says so. Do you hear that promise? That if we do these things, then God will bring us through everything that we need to have in our lives. Because God is going to be there. Nick, why don't you come up, please, do the music. And God will be there to do those things. But it's up to us to come to that place. It's up to us to be honest with ourselves and say, has the enemy robbed me? Has he broke promises? Have I broke promises with God? Are there things that's trying to destroy me? Have I been part of that breach that's been hurt and torn apart that I need to be repaired? Or maybe I know people that need to be repaired. I know people right now. I've talked to people, you know, for pastor, most of y'all don't know this. Or you may know this already. I'm sure you do. But at Christmas time, from Thanksgiving to New Year's, is a very sad time for lots of people. It's a very depressing time of the year. It's a time when most suicides are more available than anything. And I say available, they're available at any time, but a lot of people use that time because they're so depressed. But I'm going to tell you what, my God is a restorer. Amen. He is one that will repair the breach in our lives. And if you would, why don't you stand? And I'm going to give an altar call, and it's not that you got great sin in your life. It's just like, hey, you know what? I think I'll take him up on an invitation today that I want something new done in my life. I want to learn something new, and I want to go places that I've never gone before, and I want to say things that I've never said before, and I want to be one of those that would be a repairer of the breach. And God has already said that whatever things that I put my hands to would be blessed. And I can fix anything with God's help. I want you to come if you feel any part of that. And we just want to pray and agree with you today. I mean, let's kick this new year off and say, you know what? Let's do it God's way. Brother Terry's going to talk to us in the weeks to come about fasting, food, and TV and all that. But today, I want to deal with our hearts right now and say, you know what? Let's do it God's way. Let's come and let's just get before God today and say, God, I want your way to be done in my life today. Come on. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
I sing praises to your name.
Praise you, Jesus.
Oh, praises to your name. Praises to your name.
of you to come and lay hands on these and agree with them and pray. Encourage them this year. Stand beside them this year. Do things as a team. When you see somebody that needs a loving touch, somebody that needs encouragement, let's go to them this year. Let's be a body of Christ here at this church that would encourage other people, that would look, that would seek after people that need help. Not wait till they run to you, but you'll look at them and you'll know the Spirit within you will touch you and show you that this person needs that and this person needs something else. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
I give glory to your name. Oh, Lord, glory to your name. Oh, Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I give glory to your name.
Right now, pray for them. If you're staying here, won't you extend your hands toward them? If you need to go, you're dismissed. Have a happy new year. But go do something. Take these scriptures and read them and digest them this week in your life. And let God make a difference in our lives. Let's let this be the greatest year that we've ever had at this church and in your life. In Jesus' name.